Chase and Michelle, hour number two, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser. Predators will have a press conference today, 1 o'clock. We'll have it for you here on 102.5, 106.3, the game, as Andrew Brunette will be introduced as the fourth head coach in Predators history. It will involve him, Barry Trotz, and David Poile. We'll all be up there. Sean Henry's going to join the midday show, Caroline Willie and D-Mace, around 12:30 to kind of talk about everything. And then Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette are scheduled at some point today to join Jared on Stillman and Company.
Can I read a funny text?
Sure.
Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Well, Andrew Brunette scored the first ever Predators goal, and he might as well win the first ever Predators Stanley Cup.
Now, that would be kind of interesting. Yeah, you're
first
right.
ever win.
If Barry Trotz, the first ever head coach that coached the first game in history, is the GM that wins the cup, and then Brunette, who scored the first goal in Preds history, which was actually in the second game against Carolina. They did not score in the first game. Man, that would be – that. What a story.
So many full circle. I love when you can connect dots like this, because – so often in sports, whether it be in the upper management, whether it be in coaching, there's so many connections. And it's like, oh, and this person knows this person. And then when Nick brought up that Barry Trotz actually coached Brunette with the Portland Pirates back in the AHL days, like it goes back so far. And he's been such a big part of his career. And now – Barry wants him to be his guy.
Right.
Kind of similar to like when David Poile chose Barry Trotz to be the first coach here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
A young guy who didn't have a lot of experience.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, Brunette has more experience than Barry Trotz did.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. So what do we expect to know, to find out? What do we want to know today? Obviously, I mentioned it earlier of I kind of want to know the process of going through all this. And maybe why it took so long. And, you know, Elliot Friedman said that with the candidates here going to the second round, that might have slowed it down. But again, the other part of it was you still had a head coach. So that makes it a little bit awkward.
Yes.
I think some of that could come up. But Elliot Friedman, as he joined yesterday on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, did discuss the Andrew Brunette hiring process.
As the National Predators have moved on from John Hines, it's been announced that he, not from the team, but from Kevin Weeks, that Andrew Brunette will replace him. What do you make of that move?
Well, first of all, I don't think Kevin's wrong. I think, you know, the team, I think one of the things this morning was that the team was, the Nationals taking a little bit of criticism here for how it's been handled. And I think they wanted to make sure that Hines was properly notified before it got out. So I think that's why you haven't seen an announcement yet. So that's going to come. Like, Kevin's not wrong about this. He's right. They're making a coaching change and Brunette's coming in. So, you know, I can't remember what I said last Thursday, Carolyn, but, you know, I had been reporting on the weekend that Nashville was talking to people, and I couldn't pin down who it was, but I knew they were talking to people. And I think when you're at this point and, you know, your regular season's been over for about 7 weeks and you're talking to people, it's not a great sign. And I think they talked to two people. I think they talked to Brunette, and I think they talked to Spencer Carberry. If they talked to anybody else, I don't know about it at this point in time, but I do believe those were two people they talked to. Carberry was hired today as the head coach in Washington. I think Nashville was going to be very happy with either one of them. And they also knew, however, like Carberry interviewed with four teams. He interviewed with the Rangers, he interviewed with Anaheim, he interviewed with Washington, and he interviewed with the Predators. And Brunette interviewed with the Predators, he interviewed with Columbus, he interviewed with Anaheim. And I'm not sure if he was on his way to Calgary or he was supposed to go to Calgary, but he was going to interview the Flames too. And I think, you know, the Predators realized if they wanted one of these two guys, and like I said, I think they were happy to have both, they were going to have to do it right now because Carberry was going off the board and Brunette would too.
That was Elliot Friedman yesterday. I keep forgetting Calgary's open too, but that is also...
Yeah, I keep forgetting they're open too.
Yeah, that is open. You know what this sounds like? This sounds very familiar. This sounds very familiar to the process in which Mike Vrabel became the head coach of the Titans. You know,
Jim Irsay is still kicking himself.
Right. But I mean, that was kind of what sped it along, because Mike Mularkey was the head coach. Then, you know, they win a playoff game. They move on from Mularkey. And John Robinson wanted his guy, and his guy was going to be Mike Vrabel. And they, why am I blanking on his name? He's coach of the Raiders now. McDaniels. Basically told Irsay, thanks, but no thanks. You know, it sped up the process. And so it kind of feels similar to that. And ultimately they get their guy in Andrew Brunette. I think if they were going to make a move, Brunette's name was out there. And I can remember asking Greg Wyshynski about him maybe a month or so ago about, could you see that potentially being a fit? And you know, his name was floating around, and obviously the connections were there. And then everybody had kind of gravitated towards Spencer Carberry as well, mm-hmm. Because of his connections to Trotz. And so ultimately ends up being Brunette, and he'll be introduced today.
Well, and that's kind of what I thought too, Chase. I mean, as I mentioned before, during our show yesterday, the news of Carberry heading to the Capitals was becoming official. And I think it got made official either during our show or shortly after. And then Caroline Willie and D-Mace up at 11 by the second segment, about 11:20. That's when the Predators news broke. Kevin Weeks broke the news that John Hines would not be the coach. And very shortly after, it was confirmed that Andrew Brunette would be the next head coach here. So, you know, when you talk about both of these guys in the teams that they were in, their former teams they were a part of, went to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Okay, that slows things down. But I guess my question still is, did you have any intention of keeping John Hines here? That's my question. Because the Capitals had already parted ways with Peter Laviolette weeks ago. The Calgary parted ways with their coach. Columbus parted ways with their coach. The Rangers parted ways with their coach. The Predators are the only ones who had a situation like this. They were the only ones who technically they didn't have an opening at head coach.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they didn't.
So, and I think that's something that, I mean, Elliot Friedman went on yesterday to say that people around the league looked at that, and there were some coaches maybe a little frustrated with the situation. I don't think, you know, they would just keep John Hines around just to keep him around. I do think that, you know, if they couldn't get maybe a Brunette or a Carberry, that they would probably have kept John Hines and let him run out the last year of his contract. I think that's fair to assume that probably was the situation, but it all kind of happened quick, and they didn't want to fire him because they thought, okay, this is fine. We want to try to upgrade, but if we can't get one of these two people, we'll keep John Hines for one more year and then reevaluate next year this time.
Yeah, and I mean, it's one of those things that it's going to suck no matter what. It's just kind of an unfair business. And, you know, I had said, when we talked about this some yesterday, you know, I said, look, there's probably been some conversations behind the scenes that we don't know about. Apparently they didn't involve John Hines. And, you know, I don't think John being the guy that he is, I know he's confirmed that he was kind of left in limbo, but I don't see him going scorched earth and talking about it all that much. But it is something that's going to have to be cleared up, because, you know, especially looking at somebody that's been on the other end as a coach in Barry Trotz, like you want to try and do things the right way. But also, you know, as you go through processes like this, that you can't always be as forthcoming as you want to.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And so it's a tough situation to be in, but ultimately Barry Trotz's job is to do what is best to make the Nashville Predators a Stanley Cup contender, and to do that sooner rather than later. And that's where I think he's at now.
When you say that, it brings me back to his quote he said when he got introduced as the GM, and he says, wouldn't it be fun to win a cup?
And we have that parade.
We have it on one of our promos, but you're right. And I think one of the biggest questions that I have, and it won't be answered today. It's not a question that'll be answered today. It'll be a question that will be, you'll have to actually watch games and see how this all comes together with this core this Predators team has right now, is How can Andrew Brunette help develop these young guys who played a pretty significant role on this team towards the end of last year? How can he not only continue to develop them, but also intertwine them and get more production out of the Philip Forsbergs, the Matt Duchesnes? Because we kind of saw, right, two teams. You saw the young group when a lot of the older guys were injured towards the end of the year, and we haven't gotten to see all of these guys actually play together. We've seen almost two different groups. So that's going to be my biggest question. I mean, when he coached the Panthers team, that was a President's Trophy winning team. You know, and now that team is in the Stanley Cup Finals right now. And I know it's a different team. You get Matthew Tkachuk, and there were some changes, but it wasn't a young core group team. So what does it look like when coaching a group of these young guys? You also have a lot of prospects in Milwaukee right now. We've talked about Joakim Kimmel. So that, I think, is going to be my biggest question mark. How does that look? I know he's good on the power play, and he's been regarded as one of, like, an offensive mind. Barry Trotz said he's one of the best offensive minds in the NHL right now. So how does all of that play into helping these young guys take the next step up and also getting that production from the older players?
So now that the coach is in place, what does this mean for the players? Are we going to see a lot of changes to the roster? We'll discuss that next. Corey Curtis at the bottom of the hour here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
But I do wonder if this group of players with a better coach could end up with significantly better results.
It could. And look, John Hines had an interesting tenure as Predators coach, to say the least. Based on when he came in, the shortened season, COVID-19, all of those things. And some of that worked against him. And I do think that in some cases, he made chicken salad out of chicken poop, in some cases. But the results in terms of wins and losses and playoff wins and losses, they speak for themselves. John was unable to get the Predators, you know, over a hump that he was hired to get them over. And, you know, I am curious to see how a new coach can help certain players. Because, yes, we did see Philip Forsberg and Matt Duchesne have career years under John Hines. But last season, they did not have those types of years before they were injured. And to me, an up-and-coming coach like Brunette, who's had a chance, but now he's going to get the full opportunity, you know, working with some young, promising talent, like all of your favorites on the Milwaukee Admirals, Jared.
That's my team.
I think it will be really interesting to see how the younger generation of Predators players, like Evangelista, like Parson, like Afanasyev, like Tomasino, like Joakim Kimmel, perhaps. I will be interested to see how Brunette works with those young players. Because at this point, Matt Duchesne, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg, Roman Josi, they are what they are.
That was Adam Vingan yesterday with Stillman & Company. Did an hour talking about this breaking news, or not really breaking anymore. It's pretty news now. Just news.
Pretty broken.
Broken, yeah, there you go. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It's me. Hi, I'm the problem.
I know. I knew you were playing Taylor.
It's good. It's good. I needed that. Thank you, Nick Kieser. Thank you, Nick Kieser.
But we're not going to have to talk about the Eras Tour because I still haven't gone yet, and that's still a work in progress.
I ordered you some rain from her tour. It's being delivered for your birthday.
If I do make it to one of the concerts, I will say, and if you haven't heard this, people are quite literally selling rain in a jar for $200+ because it was the rain that was just at the concert that Taylor. Listen, if you're trying to make a little extra cash,
I have confetti from the concert. I could just sell that.
No, Chase, seriously though, you probably could make more money than rain.
Who wants confetti from the Eras Tour?
Go put it on eBay. People will pay for anything. No, I'm quite literally serious.
I know.
Keep us updated on
I know. Like, I'm thinking right now. Like, how do I want to play this? That could be that could be interesting. Maybe that's my new business plan. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And I thought it was an interesting question that Jared asked to Adam of could you see this group of players that Brunette get more out of them? Now, I think we do forget that Forsberg, Duchesne, and Josi all had career years, and John Hines was the head coach.
Correct.
Now, you're going to have that group that's going to go, well, what did he have to do with it? Well, I mean, it was still his system, so I would say he deserves a little bit of credit. And then
their power play was sixth in the league. The power play, year.
Right. And then you had last year and it just fell off.
And nothing changed.
And so, that is the reason I think that they ultimately moved on. Last night I was on Fox 17. Jill Jelinek asked me, what can you point to? And I said the biggest thing was he got a lot out of the younger players at the end of the year. It was, I think, what he didn't get out of the veterans that had career years the year before, and it was just that up and down inconsistency.
Well, and it not only was that, but it was when we were at this point in the season last year, it was, okay, what are the Preds going to do this offseason? Are they ready to try to break up this core, make some changes, because the message is maybe getting, like, it's just not working after they got swept in the playoffs? But then they decided to add a Ryan McDonough. They decided to add a Nino Niederreiter. So heading into last year, there was no question in really anybody's minds if the Preds were going to be a playoff team. You looked at that roster, you thought, oh, this will be a playoff team. You made additions. You made some good additions in Nino Niederreiter, in a Ryan McDonough, proven guys in the NHL to get better. And I think the slow start really, really probably hurt him. Because once you get there and then you realize by the trade deadline you're waving the white flag, yeah, it was great to see him get so much production out of the young guys. But if you look at the season as a whole, the only reason you were put in that situation is because you weren't getting the production from your proven guys, from your guys who are making $8 million a year, and the production you need from those guys on your team. Because at the end of the day, it's great when you bring young guys up from the AHL, and it's great to see Tommy Novak and Cody Glass and Luke Evangelista all make names for themselves, but it's for such a small period of time. And you also look at those guys, too, and think what they did in the short period of time, it really was incredible. But what does that look like in a full NHL season, day in and day out, 80 games, you know, back to back, the entire grind of it? Are they actually ready to take on that role?
So the question is going to be what kind of adjustments Barry Trotz is going to make to the roster. I think this roster is going to look different. I think maybe significantly. I said even before this coaching move that I felt it was more likely that at least one of Matt Duchene or Ryan Johansson would not be on the roster when they start next season. I stand by that.
Okay.
I do believe that is going to be a possibility. I think the more likely scenario is Johansson gets bought out.
I agree.
Now, the thing is, you could look around the league at teams that are in cap trouble and they have to unload a salary. And I heard Jared use this example. So Toronto is one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, Toronto's going to have to make some moves. The Predators are in great cap situation right now. You could go to one of those teams and you could say, hey, tell you what, you take Johansson, we'll take whoever that makes more. He can be added to our team. We can clear the cap space. You can buy Johansson out and you still save money. And
possibility,
you know, I'm not saying that's super likely, mm-hmm. but that is a game Barry Trotz could play. There's some creativity. And what's funny is David Poile, I was interviewing him one time and asked him about kind of navigating the cap situation through COVID in the last few years. And he said, whether it's fortunate or unfortunate, there are some very creative managers in this league. And he's been one of them.
Well,
at times,
how many contracts do the Arizona Coyotes have?
If you look at all the contracts that they have or have had over the years, that's a damn good team.
Oh yeah, but who have actually played for them? It's wild because that is, you know, we talk so much about the NHL. It is such a hard cap. It's very different than the NFL, where you know you can maneuver kind of within your own cap, pushing contracts back, restructuring, people taking maybe a pay cut, all these different things, extending somebody. But in the NHL, it's like hey you over here. It's like, you know, when you have an auctioneer and he's like, will you take 50? Will you take 50?
Yeah, right.
It's like that with all the GMs. It's like, okay, I'll take this and I'll pay this and I'll give you that, because you really can do it so many creative ways. The likelihood of it, I don't know, but if you are, you know, if Barry Trotz calls up Toronto and trying to help them out, a team who I think they did they hire their new general manager yet?
Not yet.
I'm still waiting to hear that. So. But, you know, that could be intriguing for them. I do think out of the two, out of the Duchesne and out of the Ryan Johansson, I do think that Ryan Johansson, especially coming off of that really tough injury that he had during the season last year, I think that he would be more of a candidate to try to move off of. Whereas I do think you can still get some stuff out of Duchesne.
Yeah. Now, I think if maybe Johansson wasn't coming off that injury,
mm-hmm.
Johansson is a Barry Trotz type guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think that Barry could get the best out of Johansson. Like, I look at some of these guys, and that's the thing, going, you know, revisionist history.
But he's GM now.
Right. But revisionist history, like, when Barry was let go, you know, I think there was a – I was one of those, like, okay, I get it. Maybe it's better for both sides, mm-hmm. change in direction. But Barry never got the roster that – Peter Laviolette got. Like, he didn't get Philip Forsberg. He got Philip Forsberg for 5 games when he was 18 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't get those guys. He didn't get James Neal. Like, and so I think that if you look at some of the players that Peter and John have had, you know, if Barry had had that in his coaching career, this could be a completely different conversation right now. Revisionist history, it is what it is. But I've always kind of looked at that, and Johansson was one of those guys because I really felt like Johansson, Barry could have really helped Johansson and made him gotten the most out of him because he was good at that. Like, players especially that would get a little complacent, and I love Joey, but he's one of those that could get a little complacent at times. Barry was good at getting that out of him.
Vrabel-esque.
In a different way, but yes.
Like,
same
getting
concept,
the most
yeah.
out of somebody. And Neil on our text line texted in and says, I could see the Preds trading Sissons instead of Joey. Joey's contract is too big to move. We kind of talked about some of the creative ways of how you could move a guy like Johansson, especially coming off that injury and having a guy like Cody Glass who's emerging and looking to play a top center role. But what are your thoughts on that, Chase? Do you see any movement with a guy like Sissons?
Potentially. I mean, I think that's a contract that is easy to move.
It's more movable than
yeah. I could see that. I mean, look, I don't think they're going to trade Tauros because
either.
I don't think he wants to blow it up. I think he's going to take some big swings with the hammer and add some players that are ready now while also adding for the future and potentially put this team right back in the playoffs.
And you know what I think helps him do that is what he saw from the young guys
yep.
towards the end of the
yep.
season.
I think that is 100% right.
That is the huge reason I think that this team could be trending more towards a quick reset rather than a full-blown rebuild.
You could very easily trade Tauros, go to Yossi and say, what do you want to do? You know, would you waive your no move? Same with Forsberg, and you could blow it up.
Because here's the thing: I
don't think they're going to do
if
that.
If we didn't see the production from, you know, Tomasino, Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak, Parsonen, you know, the list goes on and on and on. If you didn't see that from them, and there was no white flag that was waived during the trade deadline, and these guys didn't get the opportunity that they did, you would be in this position now saying, okay, I've seen some NHL games that these young guys have played. I know what they've done in Milwaukee, but we just still don't really know. And there still is that question mark there. You don't know what they truly will be as an NHL player, but the sample size that you have gotten from these guys is much larger than you could have gotten in a different situation. So I think that plays such a big role in the decisions that Barry Trotz decides to make with the roster.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic, Nick Heiser with you. We say hello to Corey Curtis from News 2, who's been nice enough to join us with all the things going on. Corey, what's up?
Hey, Corey.
Oh, man, I'm just I'm cooking fried chicken. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, that sounds good. I like that.
Now I'm hungry.
Barry Trotz making his big move. Still the incoming GM.
Yeah.
He's done more as the incoming GM. that I think I've ever seen before, but obviously that we kind of knew how this transition was going to work, even though David Poile
yeah.
still is the GM by title. Barry Trotz has to make these moves now to set himself up for success. John Hines out. Andrew Brunette comes in as the head coach, an original Predator. What do you think of the move?
Well, you got to have your guy. There's no question about that. And, you know, the thing, I didn't hear a lot about what you guys had to say yesterday. You know, I think that John Hines did a very nice job of steadying the ship for the Preds and getting them to play with a little bit more grit and being a tougher team to play against again, because they got really soft there at the end under Lavi. But they were also extremely mediocre. They had four winning seasons. They had a winning record every season he was here, but they didn't advance out of the first round of the playoffs. And as I've said, you're in it to win, but you're not just in it to win games. You're in it to win championships. And so ultimately, you know, that's what you have to look at. And you have to say, we've had 4 years, you know, and is this what we want to do? Or is there someone who can take us further? And, you know, they ultimately decided there was someone to take them, you know, further. It's someone he knows, which is usually pretty important. I think the process was a little interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got a guy who's in one season won a lot of games. And so I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I that was going to lead me to my next question. You know Barry Trotz. You were here when Barry Trotz was the head coach of the Nashville Predators. I think we know what kind of man and coach he is, and now obviously the GM. But I was a little surprised with not necessarily how long it took, but it just felt like there was – you know, John Hines was kind of in the dark, and there were some things going on behind the scenes. And I'm curious if how much he's going to address that today.
Well, look, I agree with what he had to say at the end of the season when he said he needed to review and, you know, go over everything and then make a decision, because that's what happened every year when he was a coach. I am totally down with that. But in my opinion, you shouldn't be interviewing other head coaches while you've got a head coach.
Right.
That's my opinion. That could be wrong. I mean, I could, in the NHL, maybe that's a way of doing things. Look, John Hines is still going to get paid this year, so he's fine. He's fine. He'll find a job on a bench somewhere, whether it be a head coach or assistant coach or whatever. He can find one, and he's still going to get paid this year regardless. So he is going to be okay. But I don't know what kind of message that sends to the league, that you could be the head coach and they can be interviewing candidates behind your back. Because this is the way I feel about it. If you feel the need to interview other candidates, you've made up your mind about your head coach, that you need something else. And so once you made that decision, you probably should have just moved on. Because I think it also could put your candidates in kind of an uncomfortable situation. I mean, I've interviewed for jobs where there's a current sports director in place, and you know, I'm like, well, does he know? And you know, that makes me think about what my future would be at that place. And so I thought that was a little peculiar. I don't feel sorry for John Hines. I don't. I mean, he's a nice man and he's a good hockey coach. He's won a lot of games, but I mean, I'm not going to go on, he was wrong. I mean, it's just not the way I would do business.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us right now. Corey, it also was announced yesterday that Dan Lambert, they'd also be parting ways with him. What do you think that this means for Todd Richards and Dan Hinote? Do you think that, you know, we can feel confident they will be on the staff, or do you think that maybe there'll be some room for Brunette to bring in one or maybe two of his guys?
Well, I mean, I would think there'd be room for Brunette to bring in somebody, but I would also think it means pretty good indication those guys are staying and that they probably talked about those guys during the interviewing process, because it wouldn't make sense to keep them on just to fire them 2 weeks later. All right. So, I mean, I think that, you know, every coach, incoming coach, you know, one of the questions is, who are your assistants going to be? You know, what's your staff situation going to be? So I'm sure, you know, they talked about the current guys on staff, and Trotsky and David probably talked about, you know, the pluses and minuses of all those guys. And I don't know what Brunette's relationship is with any of those guys. So I would think they're going to stick. But, you know, obviously there's no guarantees.
Corey Curtis is with us. Do you think that it matters or is a big deal that You know, I think we talk about this some in the NFL of having an assistant on the staff that's been a head coach before. Obviously, Andrew was the interim head coach with the Florida Panthers. He's got Barry to lean on, but having Todd Richards, who's been a head coach, on his staff, mm-hmm. how beneficial do you think that can be?
Well, sure. I mean, look, one of the things I look for when we bring somebody into the sports office is who can bring ideas, who can bring experience, who, when I'm not sure about a situation, can I lean on and say, what are your thoughts here? Don't tell me what I think I want to hear. Tell me what you think. What would you do here? And, you know, Todd Richards has that to lean on. And, you know, look, Andrew Brunette's been coaching for a while, so he's seen it. He's coached the season. He's got experience. But everybody can learn from somebody else. Look at Nick Saban, okay? Nick Saban used to coach games that were 10-9 for years, and then he completely changed and jumped into the offensive age. And so, and that guy was, you know, arguably the best coach in college football. And so there's room for everybody to learn and have somebody on your bench that you can lean on who's been there, who's done that. I think it's beneficial to Brunette, but I think it's really beneficial to just about anybody.
Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us now. Corey, I do want to let you know that Aaron Rodgers is limited this morning with a calf. So we will not see a full practice. I know that you've been on the edge of your seat just mm-hmm. waiting to know that. But switching to the NFL side of things, OTAs today for the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Chase earlier. I said the number one guy I'm looking for there. Obviously, the Kevin Byard situation, I don't think he'll be out there today, but Christian Fulton, TD, reported this morning that Christian Fulton will be there. And to that point, how important do you think that this year will be for Christian Fulton?
Well, I mean, look, if Christian Fulton wants to be back, he needs to play well, and he needs to not get hurt. And, you know, sometimes not getting hurt is out of your control a little bit. And, I mean, you know, but I think Mike Vrabel understands it's optional right now, but he also understands everybody else is there and they're doing work that he thinks is going to prevent guys from getting hurt. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to go do things on your own, which is your right, you better be right when you get back. I mean, it's like doubling down at the blackjack table. Mm-hmm. You know, you know Christian Fulton is kind of pushing all his chips on the table. You know, he's got a routine. He's got proven people he's working out with right now. And we'll see if it works. And the other thing is we've seen when Christian Fulton is healthy and playing well, he's a really good player. Mm-hmm. So he can make this team better, and they need him to make them better. I don't know if we'll see Kevin Byard or not. You know, he has missed some OTAs in the past, not nearly as many as he's been to. So we'll see if he is out there today or not. Again, I don't worry that much about Kevin Byard, but it is peculiar when 98% of the team is there and he's not. I'm not naive to that as well. I wish I could be out there. I'll be at Preds today, so I won't get a chance to go out there and watch it. But it'll be interesting who shows up. Mandatory's next week, mm-hmm. so they'll all be there next week. And if they're not, then we really got a story.
Oh, yes. And the big question, and I'm sure somebody will ask Mike Vrabel today, should the Tennessee Titans go and try to get DeAndre Hopkins?
You know, when it first happened, I talked with this about Jared, and, you know, because I was pretty convinced he could make them a better team, largely because I think any real wide receiver added to the roster could make them a better team. You know, I was reading some stuff that there's some real concern about his ability to run and separate at this point in his career. I think he's missed 15 games over the last 2 years, some of those by choice. Which leads to that whole does he love ball, you know, conversation. But, you know, Mike Vrabel loves him some former Houston Texans. There's no doubt about that. And Tim Kelly knows him as well. So I think, you know, they're in probably a pretty good spot to make as good of an educated guess as you possibly can. And I wouldn't break the bank. I mean, if there's a bidding war for him, I'm not in it. But if I could get him at a semi-reasonable rate, I still have to think he makes you a better football team, unless you think that there are, you know, Jerry Judy's or the Corey Davises or some of these other guys are going to become available and you think you're going to be able to get them for less. I mean, that's what I don't know. I mean, Judy just got his fifth-year option picked up, so they're not going to release him. And they don't have any draft capital left to trade. So, you know, they got to rely pretty much on guys who get waived at this point.
Yeah, but I feel like you're like me, and you feel like there's a guy that's not on this roster that will be on this roster by the time they kick the season off.
I kind of think it has to be. Yeah. I mean, you've got one guy on the roster, one, Uno, okay, with 100 catches for his career in a sport where there are multiple receivers who have 100 catches in a season. They have one guy who has 100 catches for his career. I think they have three guys who have double-figure catches for their career. So there's not a lot of experience there to lean on. We all think there's more to come from Treylon Burks and from Kyle Phillips. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine is what he is, right? I mean, and Chris Moore is what he is. And they're basically like number four receivers.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, look, I liked Chris Moore when I saw him last week. I thought he was better than I expected him to be.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I was like, he looks bigger and he moves well. He looks like he knows what he's doing. I was actually pretty impressed by his practice last week. But, you know, you're not talking about winning with that. If you want to play the Chiefs, if you want to beat the Bengals, if you want to beat the Bills, you got to have dudes. And those guys are players, not dudes.
It's telling when the head coach has more receiving touchdowns than anybody on the team.
Actually, I think the number you're looking for is more receiving touchdowns than all the players on the team combined.
I know.
That actually,
I think that's
true.
No, I think that's right.
No, in the wide receiving core, that is absolutely true because I think the number is 9.
Oh man, what a stat for sure. Corey, thanks for doing this last second. Appreciate your insight, and we'll see you today at the press conference.
All right, thanks guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, Corey Curtis, News 2 Sports Director, joining us here on Chase and Michelle. We will put a bow on things, look ahead at OTAs, and wrap up some of this Preds talk next. You're on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezvik hanging out. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball, which is on right now, 94.9 The Fan. And tomorrow at 6:04 on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Putting a bow on things a lot, obviously, with the Predators today. Again, the press conference coming up at 1 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. Andrew Brunette will be introduced as the fourth head coach in Predators history. Incoming GM Barry Trotz will be there. Current GM David Poyle will be a part of that as well. Sean Henry, the president and CEO of the team, will join Caroline Willie and D-Mace around 12:30 to talk about all this going on. And we will see where things go from here with the roster and then OTAs at Titans. So it's definitely a busy day here in Nashville with the two major sports teams, two of the major sports teams, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, shout out to Nashville SC. They have been killing it as
balling
of late.
What happens when you have Hani Mukhtar on your team?
Yeah, the MVP. I think he might win it again, to be honest with you.
He's definitely up there. Yeah, they're exciting. They also got a sick stadium. I haven't been over there in a while. But
I went for the first time a few weeks ago. Mukhtar scored three goals.
Was it the hat trick?
Yeah, the hat trick.
Awesome night.
Thanks for that, Hani. That was really good to my betting account. it was cool. It was my first time there. Walked around, checked it out, and so they've done a nice job there. But and look, that's one thing as we get into the summer, and they're kind of in the. I know their schedule's been going on since February, but we'll be talking about that more because they're a team right now that could certainly make some noise. But OTAs today, I know you're going out there.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we haven't talked about that you're expecting today?
So mentioned this earlier, looking to see.
And Fulton's there.
Fulton, TD reported. TD reported that Fulton will be there. He was with the Miami trainers last week. He's back. He had a party for his store that he has in Nashville, so I knew that he was in Nashville, but TD reported this morning that he will be there. So that's good for him. kind of similar to what Corey Curtis said, not really worried about the Kevin Byard situation, if he's there, if he's not there. What you really would need to worry about is if he doesn't come to minicamp, which is the mandatory stuff. So not worried about that. Honestly, just looking to see some of the wide receivers out there and what do they look. That's going to be what I'm focusing on most. And the offensive line. Peter Skoronski. There's so many different storylines this year in this training camp, and I would have laughed if I told myself this last year because it was, right, it was Malik Willis and Ryan Tannehill, and now this year you have so many questions with the offensive line. What will Skoronski look like?
He did sign his contract.
What will Will Levis look like? Obviously going to watch him and the quarterbacks, and which players will speak today? Always interested to see who's at the podium and, you know, what their thoughts are thus far.
Did Henry speak last week?
No.
So I wonder if we'll hear from him.
Tannehill, maybe. Not sure.
Because we haven't heard from Derek yet.
Nope.
This offseason, I don't think.
Nope. But he usually is a guy who doesn't come for OTAs, and he was here last week. So I would assume he's back today. But usually, he usually is a guy who really does his own thing.
Yeah, and he's earned that right. I mean, Byard has too. It's just, it's the timing. That's what it is with a lot of this.
For sure. So, yeah, just some of those storylines. I have a feeling that, of course, they're at the exact same time. Of course, this Preds news breaks and the one day that the Titans OTAs. So I think we're dividing and conquering well at the station. We've got some people that, some people there. We'll be in all areas. But definitely a busy day for it being May 31st and quote-unquote, the slow sports season.
Yeah, well, June 1st is tomorrow. So, you know, as we talked about with Corey Curtis, I think there's at least one or more, maybe more, you know, that aren't on this team, guys that aren't on this team yet that will be on this team by the time they kick off the season. And I'm hoping they're at the wide receiver position. But, you know, we could see some players become available in the next few days. You know, the whole June 1st thing is – a little bit of a misnomer because you can cut them before then and do a June 1st designation. But, you know,
Did they do that with Bud Dupree or my?
I can't remember
if they did or not.
I know that was how they handled Julio.
Yeah. So Titans releasing Bud Dupree pre June 1. Oh, yeah. So I think, yep. I think I was right on that. Yeah. So cutting Bud Dupree pre June 1. Oh, just kidding. Nope. I'm sorry. Cutting him would save $9.3 million, while a post-June cut would have saved them $15 million. But,
I'd be curious, you know, on that to kind of look around the league. And, you know, the waiver wire is Vrabel referenced one time to see what's available. But it's going to be a continued process. You know, that's what's fascinating is both the Predators and the Titans are in similar positions. Now, the Predators have made a coaching change. Obviously, the Titans have not, but the Titans have a new GM.
And so do the Preds.
And so they are, you know, they're going to be creating continue to create the roster and build the roster. Now, I feel like the Predators are in a better spot because they have all that draft capital. The Titans do not. And so that's going to be able to speed the process up. With what they did at the trade deadline, that has put Barry Trotz and Andrew Brunette now in a very good position to succeed as they move forward. So definitely going to be something to look forward to and see. But curious to see what news comes out of OTAs. And then obviously the Predators press conferences, Andrew Brunette will be introduced and what he will have to say, what Barry Trotz will have to say. And I'm still curious of David Poyle's thoughts on the whole thing. So We will have a ton to talk about. And obviously, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace will have a ton to talk about as they are in the on-deck circle. And they were on the air when everything was breaking and was unofficial. Now that it's official,
you didn't get the D-hop, but you got other breaking news.
Yeah, no, you did that. Now, I did not. But they're live at Bridgestone Arena as they will be there for the press conference and talking about that. Greg Wyshynski going to join them at 11:30. He'll be on with us tomorrow for his usual weekly hit. They'll still talk to Jonathan Hutton as well, and Sean Henry will join them at 12:30 before you hear the press conference at 1 o'clock. That will do it for us.
I was going to say quickly, Nick and Robbie have Preds Insiders Live tonight.
Do
Preds Insiders Live tonight, so special edition.
Did I approve that?
I don't know. I got told yesterday.
Okay. Oh. I'll approve that. That's fine.
All righty, then.
Breaking news left and right over here.
y'all can go live. You do a great job with it, for sure. That will do it for us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.